Another element comes into play here that's worth mentioning right at the beginning. I sometimes think of it as the paradox of cross-cultural communication. And here's an example that represents it. An American Indian woman lawyer, her name was Abby Abenanti, explained in an interview that when she went to law school, there were those who thought that Indians and women should not be lawyers, and they created problems for her. Well, that's easy to understand. But there were also those who believed that it didn't make any difference. She could just be one of the boys, as she put it, one of the white boys. And she said that they created problems for her, too. Well, that's more difficult for us to understand. Isn't it good to simply accept her as one of the boys? Well, no, because she was different. She could never be just like the men or just like the white men. That's why it's important to address differences if they really are there. In all the lectures that follow, the ultimate goal is understanding how women's and men's uses of language will help us understand how language works in general to convey meaning, to get the jobs done that we need to do, and to negotiate relationships. Although my immediate goal is understanding human behavior, making sense of our lives, many, many readers, as well as students in my classes, have told me that this understanding gives them more control over their lives. It gives them tools to use in improving personal relationships, as well as their situations at work. I'm going to end this lecture with a very brief example of how understanding gender patterns in itself can help. And I'll give you two examples of how that has actually worked. The example that I told you in the beginning of young boys and men tending to look away, whereas young girls and women tend to look directly at each other when they talk, is one of the things that leads to frustration between women and men and leads women to complain that their husbands or boyfriends are not listening to them. One young woman in my class told me of a problem that had been ongoing. Whenever she would say to her boyfriend, "I want to talk to you about something," he would lie down on the floor, close his eyes, and put his arm over his eyes. And she would be frustrated and say, "You're not listening to me. You're going to sleep." And he would say, "No, no, no, I'm listening. Go ahead, go ahead." And they never could resolve this. It was only after looking at the videotape of the boys and girls talking and taking part in our class that she realized that what he said made sense. He always said, "Well, when I normally I look around the room, I could get distracted. So if I really want to pay attention, I close my eyes so I can concentrate on what you're saying." She decided that in the future, when he did this, she would try to be understanding of his point of view, and she would not insist that he do it her way and look at him. And the next time this happened, indeed, he started heading for the floor, but then he sat up, looked at her, and said, "Okay, go ahead." And she was delighted, but also surprised. And she said, "How come you're doing that?" And he said, "Now that I know why it means something to you, I'm going to try to do it." I can't guarantee that's always going to happen, but it's actually much more likely to happen that he will accommodate to what she's asking if she is not putting it in the way that her way is right and his way is wrong. Nobody wants to change when they feel that they're being told what they do is wrong. They know that there's logic to what they're doing. If you approach it from the point of view of a conversational style difference, you're much more likely to want to make the change. And at the same time, if you understand why the other person is acting the way they are, you're much more likely to find your own ways to accommodate. And I have found over the years that people are extremely creative at working out solutions once they understand the patterns that are leading to the problem. With this in mind, over the next 13 lectures, I'll be exploring a whole range of patterns that ways of speaking can be different, typically in conversations between women and men. I have tried in this lecture to give you just a taste of the approach that I'm going to be taking in the next 13 lectures. And in the next lecture, lecture 2, I'll be looking in somewhat more detail on how we can see the patterns of how women and men use language in the ways children, boys and girls, learn to use language growing up.
This ends Lecture 1.